This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
In one of my previous episodes, I covered a method to assess a hunting tool, technology, or a hunting practice against the principles of fair chase. In this episode, I'm going to apply those principles to the question, is baiting bears fair chase hunting? First, I'm going to back up and look at how we hunt in general. The hunter, philosopher, and author Jose Ortega y Gasset wrote that the essence of hunting is simply a contest between two systems of instincts, the instinct to capture versus the instinct to evade. For every tactic the hunter developed, the prey, through evolution, developed a counter tactic. Every hunter, whether wild or human, uses a combination of hunting tactics, and they can be broken down into three general categories. One, the hunter deceives one or more of the five senses of the prey species. Two, the hunter exploits the behaviors or instincts of the prey species. And three, the hunter has tactics and abilities to overwhelm the physical abilities of the prey. So let's look at each one of those just a little bit closer. So hunters can use various tactics to deceive one of the five senses of the prey species. Hunters can use blinds and tree stands and terrain features or hidden in the vegetation to deceive the prey's ability to see. Conversely, a hunter can use decoys or motion so that the prey species sees something and attracts it to the hunter. The same with hearing. Hunters can be stealthy and avoid being heard by the prey, or can use sound like calls or thrashing around in the bush to attract the prey to the hunter. Hunters can avoid being smelled by the prey species by ensuring that they don't get upwind of the prey. They can use scent blocker, or conversely, they can use lures or scents to attract the prey to the hunter. Hunters can also deceive the animal's sense of taste and sense of touch with things like artificial baits that feel and taste like food to the prey species. So hunters can use tactics to exploit the animal's behaviors or instincts, and by exploit, I go back to the old adage that a good hunter understands the behaviors and patterns of the prey that it's hunting and uses that knowledge to the hunter's advantage. One of the most common hunting tactics here is the use of ambush, which is lying in wait in anticipation of where the prey species is going to be at a certain time of the day or a certain time of the year. That could be bedding areas, it could be water holes, it could be mineral licks, it could be migration trails, all these different places a hunter, whether wild or human, will use the ambush tactic to anticipate where an animal's going to be based on the hunter's understanding of the animal's behaviors and exploiting that knowledge to the benefit or advantage of the hunter. A hunter can exploit the animal's natural instincts to gain some advantage over the prey. Hunters do this with mimicry and emulating animal sounds and sights. Animals have instincts to reproduce, and hunters will use mating calls to exploit that instinct to reproduce and find a mate. Some prey species have the instinct to kill, and hunters will use sounds or motions to exploit the animal's instinct to kill. Hunters exploit the prey species' instincts to find food and eat. Hunters exploit the animal's instincts to avoid risk. Some prey species will only come out into the open early in the morning or right at last light in the evening because it's a risk-avoidant behavior of being in the open when there's less light to be seen by predators. Hunters know to watch the edge of forest clearings in the early morning or right at dusk. Some prey species avoid this altogether and they're actually nocturnal, knowing that the hunters can't hunt at all or see at nighttime. Goose hunters know how to deceive the instincts of Canada geese in order to avoid risk by not placing decoys right beside tall stubble or tall vegetation because they know the geese are inherently risk adverse to where there's tall vegetation where a predator could be hiding, and they won't land at a decoy set that's next to tall vegetation, grass, or a crop. And lastly, hunters have developed tactics to overwhelm the prey's physical abilities. Prey have specialized counter tactics in their ability to be fast, burst speeds, reflexes, and their sheer strength to outrun or avoid a predator. And predators have developed tactics to overwhelm something like the animal's speed. A cheetah has extreme burst speeds in order to catch a gazelle. Some wild hunters have developed incredibly fast reflexes and the ability to strike quickly because the prey also have very fast reflexes and speeds. Some predators have developed venoms, claws, fangs, all of these things to overwhelm the prey's ability to evade or get away from the hunter. Many wild predators have developed incredible power in their jaws and bite strength in order to overwhelm the physical strength and mass of the prey species that they're killing, to break bones, crush windpipes, burst blood vessels, and cut off airways. I like to think human hunters evolved the use of weapons. And the speed and the power of the human hunter aligns with the natural predators through the ability of weapons and projectiles that deliver the speed and power that emulates what wild predators developed through natural evolution. The bottom line here is every hunter, regardless of how they hunt or what they're hunting, has to use some combination of tactics to deceive one or more of the five senses of the prey species, to exploit the natural behaviors or instinct of the prey species, and to overwhelm the physical abilities of the prey species. Every single hunter does this every single time they hunt. So let's look at this question now. Is baiting bears fair chase? So if you remember from the previous episode, there are two principles of fair chase that you can use to assess a hunting practice. The first question is, does the hunting practice overwhelm the prey species' ability to avoid being detected by the hunter in the first place? The second question is, does the hunting practice overwhelm the prey species' natural abilities to elude or evade the hunter once the hunter has become aware of the prey's presence? All the strategies of prey species are designed to not be found by predators and to be able to escape predators once a predator has found the prey. These are the principles of fair chase, so let's examine these against baiting bears for hunting. So my question is, does placing bait in a densely wooded and confined area overwhelm the bear's ability to avoid being detected by the hunter in the first place? By placing bait in a dense wooded area and bears come and go, I would argue that the placement of the bait doesn't give the hunter an unfair or overwhelm the bear's instinct to stay hidden away from the bait site and not be detected at all. Now, some hunters put up trail cameras at the bait stations, but that only tells the hunter after the bear has gone and the hunters check the trail camera that a bear came to the actual bait station. The bait station itself, in my opinion, doesn't give the hunter an advantage to know what bears, how many, what size there is in the surrounding geographic area. So if bears want to stay hidden and out of sight and not be detected by the human hunter, I think the advantage is to the bear. So the second question, does the use of baiting for bears overwhelm the bear's natural abilities to avoid the hunter once the hunter's become aware of its presence? I think there's a perception, even in the hunting community, that bears just disregard all sense of risk and caution and just blindly wander into a bait station because it smelt something good. Even hunters will say, oh, it's too easy. The bears aren't wary. It's like shooting fish in a barrel. If you understand animal behavior and you've been close to animals when they're approaching food, you generally know wild animals come to food with an increased heightened sense of danger. Feed areas can be dangerous to any animals because predators can be lying in wait in ambush, and there might also be other members of their own species there, which could end up leading to a fight and the individual being injured. If you watch birds coming into a bird feeder, deer coming into a grassy area below your tree stand, or bears coming to a bait, I think you're going to agree that those wild animals approach a food situation with an increased level of senses and awareness, and their instincts are on high alert. So in this situation, in close proximity, with heightened senses, heightened reflexes, and a bear's ability to smell, sense, and have rapid burst speeds to turn around and dart into the thick bushes, to me, in the scenario of a bear coming into a bait set with a hunter at very close distance, either in a tree stand or a ground blind, that the advantage to escape the hunter goes to the bear because they're on edge, they're knowing that this is a dangerous situation, and they have incredibly fast reflexes and burst speeds, get out of there really quickly and leave the hunter sitting there with nothing. So to me, from a fair chase perspective and looking at the two principles, the two questions, I would argue that baiting bears passes the two tests of whether a hunting practice is fair chase. I would also add that hunting bears with the use of bait at a bait station may be one of the hardest forms of hunting because the hunter is inside that sensory bubble that all archers know, where their ability to detect you and escape in a split second is amplified. And in order for a hunter to be successful in harvesting a bear at a bait station, in my opinion, that the bear hunter may have to deceive and exploit and overwhelm almost all the bear's senses, instincts, behaviors, and physical abilities simultaneously in order to harvest the bear. So I hope this gives you maybe a little different framework or lens at looking at the use of baits for bear hunting. I'm not saying you have to do it. That is an ethical choice that the laws allow every hunter to make, whether they want to hunt bears that way or not, even in areas where baiting is legal. The laws allow for you to make your own ethical, moral decisions on how you want to hunt a bear. But from the perspective of fair chase, it's my opinion that baiting bears meets the principles of fair chase hunting.
Spend your Saturdays with Life on the Water. Join Captain Brandon Simmons for fishing, diving, travel, and so much more.
You want to succeed. You want to fish. You want to be one of the greatest.
Oh, look at that thing, dude. Wow. Oh.
Let's see what kind of trouble we can get into today.
Don't miss Life on the Water every Saturday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. The destination for outdoor entertainment.